Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Originally airing 25 years ago, the reality television show Fear Factor, that challenged contestants to perform dangerous and disgusting stunts to face and master basic fears. Those who were too afraid were eliminated. The last person remaining in the game won $50,000. Successfully mastering all of the fearsome stunts of the show, the host would congratulate the winner with these words: "Apparently, fear is not a factor for you." The show was so popular that it was revived several times. Why? Perhaps we identified with those on the show because we are surrounded by fears. Life in America in the 21st century is saturated with anxiety, worry, and fear. For many, fear has become a lifestyle that demands some kind of drug, some kind of therapy, some kind of relief. What do we fear, anyway? Our fears are unique and personal to each of us. Children fear their parents. Parents fear their children. Wives fear their bosses. Workers fear their bosses. Wives fear their husbands. Husbands fear their wives. And I must be walking on eggshells right now when I talk about spouses. And I can walk on eggshells, I'm a breakfast cook. Some are deathly afraid of losing friends. Some are afraid of not being loved. Some are afraid of loneliness. Then there is the seemingly constant fear-mongering of climate change and threats of war and disease and an economic recession. Perhaps you're not afraid of anything. Or maybe you are simply afraid or facing your deepest fear. Jesus spoke the words of our text to his 12 disciples as he sent them out to preach the gospel to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were afraid, and for good reasons. For as Jesus told them, "I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Persecution, whippings, trials, and hatred from their own family members was waiting for them, even stoning. They should not be surprised that this would be coming. Jesus told them very clearly. And why? Well, the religious leaders called Jesus not the Christ of the Son of the Living God, but they called him Beelzebul, the prince of demons, who worked his miracles by satanic arts. And certainly, those who follow him would be called the same. Yes, the disciples certainly had good reasons for fear, did they not? And so, three times in our text this morning, Jesus tells them, "Do not fear." To be sure, losing property, popularity, and even our lives are tragic events. In fact, all the disciples, all of them, the exception of John, would one day face those who kill the body and lose their earthly life for confessing this phrase, acknowledging Jesus before men. But we should not fear any of these things after all. Something far worse should stir fear in our hearts: denying Christ, and as a result, being denied before his Father in heaven, losing God, losing our bodies and souls for eternity. Now, the Catechism explanation of the first commandment tells us to fear, love, and trust God above all things. Well, we're often focused on that love and trust part. Not so much, however, fear of God. And yet, to believe in God is to have a healthy fear of Him. Fear of losing His love for all eternity. Fear of Him who is able to destroy body and soul in hell. And public shame, persecution, even prison and death cannot compare to the unending anguish, regret, and torment of those in hell, where forever the damned are painfully aware that they have rejected God and His love and must forever be separated from Him. That hell comes to those who deny Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, before men. But what is often the case? Fear of men often silences the words we should speak in confessing Jesus before others. And this is why three times Jesus tells the disciples and us, do not fear, but do not fear men. Do not let what other people think or say keep you silent about your Lord or stop you from confessing Christ. People come and go, but God remains forever. Without Him, we will most certainly be destroyed in body and soul in hell. And it is for this reason that we should be afraid. Very afraid. So Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now to us, who are not always confessed Jesus before men, to our very real fears of hell and our smaller fears, God speaks His comforting words of forgiveness while warning us of the greatest danger that threatens us. Jesus makes it very clear that God's power, love, and compassion are even greater than our fear. Fears may surround us on every side, but listen to what Jesus says in light of all this. Aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Think about it. If the all-seeing Creator keeps track of such trivial details like a few sparrows and hair on your head, how much more does He care about the present and eternal welfare of your soul? And how do we know this? Because His only Son faced that fearful ordeal of the cross for us, and in our place and in our stead, He died. He chose to face the anger. He chose to face the fists and nails and spear of those who killed the body but cannot touch the soul. He rose on the third day, didn't He? Yes, He did. So, do not fear. Like a sparrow falling to the ground, Jesus died on the cross for us, insignificant to many, but precious to God and to us who believe. In place of us who deserve it, He faced the fear of hell itself, forsaken by His own Heavenly Father. There on the cross, He bled to death for you and for me. He then descended into hell, where in body and soul He announced His victory over sin, death, and the devil. And He also announced victory on hell itself. He rose alive again to factor fear out of our lives. And while we have no power within us to banish the fears which threaten our bodies and souls, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ washes fear out of our lives with water and His word. He baptized you, didn't He? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You have nothing to fear. He feeds us with His very body and blood, to strengthen us so that we can stand up to those who would strike fear in us, factoring fear out of the heart of those who believe in him and in giving us this promise. So everyone who acknowledged me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. A 2002 film titled The Sum of All Fears, most of you probably have seen that, is a movie a few years ago about the escalating international tensions when a nuclear bomb goes off. The greatest fear evoked by the movie is not just the death of people, but the total destruction of all life on the planet by a nuclear weapon. The sum of all fears, however, is not nuclear war. The sum of all fear is not climate change. The sum of all fears is not the collapse of our economy or what have you, but rather the fear of being separated from God forever in hell. That's the fear we should fear. But you know what? Even this fear is not a factor for those who belong to him and hear his name. It is not a factor for you to fear at all, because Jesus died for your sins. He saved your soul from hell and death and Satan. Even this fear is not a factor for those who belong to him and bear his name. After all, in the face of every earthly fear, we have his sure and certain promise. And this promise says, everyone who acknowledged me before men, I also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, from me to you, as a former Muslim, who did know not Jesus Christ, I feared Allah when I worshipped him. Why? It's because I'm afraid I haven't done enough works. Because I was afraid I'm probably going to be short from doing works of righteousness. But coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I know I can't count on my works. I can only count on his. He does all the works. Therefore, do not fear. I do not fear. I see Muslims each and every day. You think I'm trembling when I see them or they see me? Not at all. I'm a human being, of course. But at the same time, I know if they kill this body, I have life eternal. That even makes me want to do more. You are children of the Almighty God in heaven. He chose you. He knows your name. He not only knows your name, but he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why you are worth more than many sparrows. Therefore, he commands you and gives you the authority and power to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, just as he has commanded you. And then he also said, teach them everything that I have commanded you. We as Christians, we have power and authority from on high. We do. We have power and authority from Jesus Christ. Therefore, fear is not a factor for you. Neither it is for me. Amen. Now may the grace of God, the Father, the love of the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.